It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Maybe this bud could be for you after all.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The brewing battle between Anheuser-Busch and Belgium's InBev may now be an opportunity to raise some glasses for a toast across the table. The New York Times reports the maker of Budweiser is now in friendly merger talks with InBev. From Berlin, Kyle James has the latest.
Recent relations between Anheuser-Busch and InBev have been pretty ugly. Anheuser has strongly rebuffed InBev's advances up to now, and a bitter brawl has been played out in court. But now Anheuser is said to be interested in a deal. Warren Buffett, one of Anheuser's largest shareholders, is said to be backing it, and InBev has indicated it would raise its original offer of $65 a share. If this deal goes ahead, it would create the world's biggest brewer and better access to markets, according to analyst Jeremy Cunnington.
They need to get the combination right of having good, strong revenue streams from markets such as in Western Europe and the US, but also then they also need to see the volume growth within the still low-margin markets of China and Russia and Ukraine and the such like.
But Anheuser could be risking a backlash, since a sale to a foreign company might not go down so smoothly with its American customer base. In Berlin, I'm Kyle James for Marketplace.
The New York Times is also outlining this morning a White House plan for a government takeover of mortgage companies Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Together, they've lost $11 billion since the credit crisis. The Bush administration's proposal would make Fannie and Freddie shares worth little or nothing, and losses on mortgages would be paid by taxpayers. GE's earnings are plugged right into expectations. The company just announced second quarter revenue was up 11%. The Dow picked up 81 points yesterday to 11,229. The Nasdaq gained 22 points to 2257. The S&P 500 was 8 points higher to 1253. A mix today in Asia and European shares are edging lower. The last big mailing of economic stimulus checks is scheduled for today. Much of the economic boost from consumers spending the checks is expected to fade by August. Retailers have to be asking themselves, then what? Luckily, Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer happens to have a crystal ball. And wait, I think I see a guy with a red suit and a white beard.
You better watch out. You better not cry.
In retail, it's never too early to think about Christmas. Santa won't like it, but retailers will be doing a lot of crying and pouting this year. The rebate checks will run out just as stores ramp up for the holidays. Gas prices will probably still be high and housing prices low. As a result, wary retailers are making suppliers agree to take back unsold merchandise. Gary Rosenberger is with EconoPlay.
Nobody wants to hold the hot potato because someone's going to lose.
The economy is expected to be weak into the first quarter of next year. Hugh Johnson of Johnson Illington Advisors says retailers can only hope for a quick economic rebound.
Those rebate checks go away. It's going to be very, very tough. But something unexpected could come along and improve the outlook dramatically.
Johnson says a drop in gas prices could send consumers back to retailers in time for the holidays. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Beijing is issuing a lot of special instructions for the Olympics. The latest is no dog, as in the Chinese government is telling restaurants to discourage orders of dog meat.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Teach for America to bring math and science teachers to under-resourced public schools. More information at teachforamerica.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The Screen Actors Guild told Hollywood studios last night, thanks, but no thanks. SAG rejected the latest contract offer from producers. The union did say it was willing to negotiate and even put forward a counterproposal, but producers say that was their final offer. Stuart Levine joins us from Variety. Stu, you still say we're not going to see an actor strike, but it seems like even the thought of a strike is enough to make Hollywood uneasy after a writer's strike that went on for 100 days.
Right. There's kind of been a what you might call a de facto strike because the studios are afraid to ramp up big movies with the possibility of a strike because the worst thing to do is spend a lot of money on the road, a lot of production costs, and then have everything stopped. The studios really want to kind of ramp that up again. Television, their fall season starting up soon, they want to ramp that up again. So I think if this is settled, you'll see a lot of production move up real quick.
No buzz is needed when it comes to The Dark Knight, the next Batman installment that comes out next week.
Right.
Heath Ledger's last performance we reported earlier this week. Tickets in certain markets are selling so fast ahead of time that you've got theaters adding shows at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I think the Batman franchise would be a big enough sell without, you know, the Heath Ledger situation. People want to see his last performance, and supposedly it's great. I would not be surprised if it was Oscar nominated because I think there'll be a lot of kind of support for him and his career. But, you know, it's going to be huge. Like I said, the last one did $205 million. I would expect this one to do probably closer to $250 or $300.
Mm. And given some of our recent conversations, I'm wondering if you think The Dark Knight will beat out Iron Man.
That's a great question. It could. You know, since the reviews have been so good and the word of mouth is going to be so good, it certainly might. I would say the one reason why it might not is because it's darker than Iron Man, and darker movies sometimes have a lot of problems getting a lot of huge, you know, kind of turnover business, people going 3 and 4 times to see it. Will women go see it? It's a possibility, which leads it to another interesting question, is that next week not only do you have Dark Knight opening, you have Mamma Mia opening on the same weekend. I actually saw Mamma Mia this week. It's a lot of fun. Meryl Streep is a lot of fun. You know, she's singing.
Pierce Bronson singing.
Well, let's not go there.
Or not.
That would not be a selling point, but he does gives it his best. I would compare it a little bit to Hairspray. That was the big kind of summer musical last year. Hairspray did about $120 million. I think this is going to do more. I think people are really going to like this. It's going to be very infectious, and I think it'll be a big hit.
Stuart Levine is managing editor at Variety. Thanks for talking with us.
My pleasure.
Have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.